Amen. So we're going to look at the next in the letters to the churches at the beginning of the book of Revelation. So we've come to chapter 3. Am I ready? Am I on? Oh, lovely. Good. We've come to chapter 3 and particularly the letter to the church in Sardis. So let me read this to you. Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. To the angel of the church in Sardis, write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me, dressed in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Thank God for his word. Tom and I have a bit of a competition on with regard to these letters as to who's got the worst one. And I think I've got the worst one today because there's hardly anything in there that's really encouraging, you know? So, you know, you have the reputation of being alive, but you're dead. Well, amen. What are we going to do with that? Here we go. Just a few words that are worth repeating as we look at this fifth of the seven letters to the churches in Asia Minor. Although all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, as it says in 2 Timothy, that doesn't mean that we take every verse in the Bible and apply it directly to ourselves, as though every word is applicable in detail to every Christian, or in this case, to every church. It would be like going into a pharmacy and looking at all the different potions and tablets and medicines and saying, well, they're all really good, I'll just take the lot. You know, that wouldn't be a good thing to do. You would only perhaps use the thing that is applicable to you and your condition. I think it's the same with the scriptures. I'm saying this because as we look at this particular passage this morning, I have to say that I don't believe that this is what Jesus is saying to Hope Church Beaconsfield at this time. This was his message to a particular group of Christians in a particular place at a particular time. However, that doesn't mean that it's not useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training us today. There are lessons that we can learn from each of these letters. If nothing else, we can learn from the mistakes these churches were making. And that particularly applies to this church in the city of Sardis. And to help us look for an application of these words to us here in Hope Church today, I'm going to talk about three R's. The three R's. They are reputation and repentance and remembering. So of the messages to the seven churches, only two of them have no explicit words of praise and commendation from Jesus. And this is one of them. His words to this particular church are words of warning and a wake-up call. And they begin in the second part of verse 1. Let's just read that. It says, I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. If the believers in Sardis, by any chance, read or heard the messages that Jesus sent to the other churches, they might be smiling as they heard the first part of the sentence. I know your deeds. You can imagine them looking around at each other and smiling and nodding. He knows our deeds. You could imagine them waiting for Jesus' words of commendation, but there were none. He goes on to say the last thing that any Christian or any church leader would want to hear from the lips of our Lord, the supreme head of the church. You have the reputation of being alive. Well, at this point, they might be smiling again and nodding at one another. Yes, we have the reputation of being alive. But you're dead. Now, one can only imagine the shock with which these words would have been received. What? We have the reputation of being alive. Everybody knows that we are a live church. What? Because these words, the shock was because these words were in absolute contrast with what others were saying about this church in Sardis. Other churches maybe, oh, Sardis, they're really going, wow, they're a really good church. They're a live church. Maybe people living in the community in Sardis. What a remarkable bunch of people they are. What good things they're doing. And here's our first R. Reputation. You have the reputation of being alive. Well, we might ask, well, what's wrong with a good reputation? What's wrong with having a good reputation? Well, nothing. Nothing's wrong with that on the face of it. In fact, Jesus and the other New Testament writers make it clear that as Christians, we should want a good reputation. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, Jesus says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Good reputation. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12, live such good lives among the pagans that they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits you. So, what's wrong with the reputation that the Sardis Christians had made for themselves? To have gained the reputation of being alive, I presume they were doing good works, helping the poor, being kind, being generous. Maybe their lifestyle as a church, maybe their worship was great. Maybe they got good musicians or something. I don't know. I don't know how people worshipped in those days. Maybe they had a reputation. They're really good. These folks are right on the cutting edge of what a church should be like. Of course, we don't know the facts specifically about this church. So what was it about these alive activities that made Jesus discard them as dead? So you have a reputation, you're doing loads of good things, but actually, you're dead. It's hard, isn't it? Tough, this. Well, I think the clue to the answer to that question of why did he discard them as dead is later on in this particular letter. When he comes to verses 4 and 5, he acknowledges that there are just a few believers in the church who have not messed up like the rest of the church. He says in verse 4, "Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me, dressed in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels." Now, concentrate, follow me here. Here's the thing. Here's the controversy between Jesus and this church in Sardis. Here's why he says in verse 2, I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of God. This is the clue. This is the nub. Okay. I've not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Here's the question. What was it about their supposedly good and alive deeds that made Jesus conclude that they were incomplete? Well, these verses 4 and 5 give us the answer, I believe. They connect with something that Jesus said back in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. Are you still with me? Just bear with me, bear with me. Okay. So in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, Jesus says this: "Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever does not acknowledge me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven." If you link that with what he says to this church in Sardis about the one or two people that have remained faithful and not got things wrong, he says, "I will acknowledge them before my Father and the angels." So why would he not acknowledge someone before the Father and the angels? It was because they were not acknowledging him before men. And that's what made their good deeds incomplete. Do you understand? Are you with me? Listen to it online and try and work out what I'm saying. Luke's version of the same words has it like this in chapter 12 and verse 8. "Whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God." So do you see the connection? The thing that made their good and alive activities incomplete was that in them, although everyone was saying how marvelous they were not acknowledging Jesus. Consequently, their good reputation among men meant nothing to Jesus. The church in Sardis had become complacent. They were assuming that as long as they continued doing the things they were doing and were being praised by other people, they were an alive church. Everybody says we're alive, so we must be alive. Everybody says that what we're doing is good, so it must be good. But I suspect that what had happened was they were so absorbed in the doing of those things that they had forgotten why they were doing them. And I think that can be a perennial problem in the church, in any church. We do good things. The church is meant to do good things. Jesus said, I want you to do good things so that people see what you're doing and they praise your Father in heaven. Peter says, I want you to have a good reputation amongst the pagans so that they see your good works. In Ephesians, Paul says that God has got good deeds for us to do. He's prepared good works for us to do. The writer to the Hebrews says, stir one another up to love and good works. So it's right that we do that. We do good things. But here's the rub. Good deeds alone are not enough. You've heard this one before, I know, and I've said it before, where people quote St. Francis of Assisi as saying, preach the gospel and sometimes use words. Well, there's two things wrong with that. One is that Francis never said that. And the second thing is that actually Francis of Assisi was part of a preaching order. It was one of the main sort of thrusts of the group of monks that he belonged to was the preaching of the gospel. So hardly would he have said something like that. When people say, well, it's enough to do good deeds, the Bible says, Jesus says, no, it's not. It's not. It's not enough. That isn't the gospel. It's incomplete. And we can, of course, place ourselves and our church alongside this measure, because that's what these scriptures are here for. They're here to teach and correct and rebuke us if necessary, but they are the measure against which we put the things that we do and what we are as a church. We line ourselves up with it and say, how do we measure up to this standard that Jesus is applying to the church in Sardis? How do we measure up as a church? And we need to ask ourselves questions. We do things like Little Feet and Options and the occasional Christmas cabaret, kids' church, Engage, Fun Days, Food Bank, Job Club, and so on. A fantastic list of great things to which we could add many more, no doubt. Here's the question. Why do we do them? Why do we do them? Sometimes we say things like, well, we're serving the community. I would suggest that's incomplete. It's incomplete. There's something missing if that's it. Let me repeat what I said at the outset. I don't believe that we fall into the same category as the church in Sardis here. But I do believe we should take this letter as a cautionary warning. I believe we should want and foster a good reputation in the community. I love it when people out there see us doing good things and it blesses them in some way. I love that. I think it's brilliant. When people say, why are you doing this? This is such a good and generous and kind thing that you're doing. It's lovely that people see that and we get a good reputation in the town. But let's beware complacency and a wandering away from why we started these things. Let's be careful that a good reputation is not all that we have as a church. Which brings me to my second R, repentance. Now, the word repentance has often been misunderstood. Some think of it simply as a sort of beating yourself up over all the bad things you've done. Oh, I better repent. Or preachers might say, repent, repent, or something like that. It comes as a very heavy thing. Now, there is. Part of repentance is saying sorry to God for the things that we've done wrong. But primarily, repent means think again. Think again. And in the context of this particular letter, Jesus uses another phrase. Wake up! It's the same sort of idea. Repent, wake up, think again. Stop! Stop what you're doing and think about why you're doing what you're doing. Church in Sardis, you're so busy. You're so active in doing good things. Think again. Think again about why you're doing this. What was the point of it? You'll be very pleased to know I'm now on to my third point, which is the word remembering. In verse 3, Jesus says, well, let's read verse 2. Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, which shows that the church in Sardis is not completely hopeless. But he says, I've not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, obey it and repent. Remember what you've received and heard, obey it and repent. I have no doubt that, like every other genuine Christian church, the church in Sardis had good beginnings. It was planted, no doubt, by faithful men and women who shared the gospel and laid good foundations, encouraging these new Christians to follow Jesus, to do good deeds in his name, and as they did, use those good deeds as a way of sharing the good news of the kingdom of God through which people could be saved. But somewhere along the line, it seems, over the years perhaps, they had forgotten why they were doing the good things. The activities took over, and the gospel got lost in all the busyness. Planning meetings replaced prayer meetings. Talking to God about things became the last item on the agenda. And talking about Jesus became an embarrassment and an inconvenience. We want people to enjoy this activity. Don't let's spoil it by talking about Jesus. We want people to enjoy the things that we're doing. Don't let's put them off by talking about God. So Jesus says, remember. And we need to hear this as a cautionary word for us. We should regularly ask ourselves and each other, why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? Remember, why did we start this thing up in the first place? What was the point? Is it still relevant? Is it still achieving the thing that we set out to do? Is Jesus still at the center and the driving force behind this? What would he say if we asked him what he thought? So when we're in our team meetings or our group meetings and we're making our plans about the next thing we're going to do or this particular day's activity, maybe we need to just sometimes just stop and ask ourselves, if Jesus was sat here, what would he say about what we're about to do, about what we're planning? Other churches might say, well, you're doing good, this is really great, but it's what he says that counts, isn't it? The community might be saying, what a good group of people you are. But what we want is the commendation of Jesus, really. We want him to acknowledge us before our Father in heaven and the angels. That's what we want. So we need to be careful, I think. This is a cautionary word, I think, for any church as you look at this passage of Scripture. Are we acknowledging him before men in our activities? Are we acknowledging him? So as we draw near to the end, or as some of the preachers say, as we come into land, How are we on these things? I hope you get my heart in this. This is not meant to be a heavy word. It's not meant to be something that we struggle with. I think it is a cautionary word. It's saying, don't let's get to the place where these guys got to. Don't let's become a church like Sardis. And there are clear ways in which we can prevent that from being the case. Yes, we want a good reputation. I think it's great that Hope Church has a good reputation, certainly in some quarters within the town here. That's great. I think it's such a good thing. But let's make sure that that's not all that we have. A reputation for doing good stuff. We need to think again, perhaps. Perhaps some of the things that you're involved in, that I'm involved in, we need to think again about why are we doing this? What does it achieve? Is it achieving what we set out? Let's remember again why we did this in the first place. We've been doing some of these things for years, decades probably in some cases. Are we still doing it for the same right reason that we started? Let's keep on doing this. Let's keep bringing these things before God and asking him to guide us and direct us so that as we acknowledge him before people, that he acknowledges us before the Father and that our good deeds are complete because of that. Let's pray together.